Hi friends, I'm here with chapter 13, which is titled as Work Life Quality and Related Issues, a very important part of today's working. It has always been there, but this is emphasizing about certain issues which were not covered earlier in the HR texts. So let's get on with it. What are we going to be doing here? The objectives of this particular chapter is, after you study this chapter, you should be able to understand concept of quality of work life, QWL abbreviated. The issues in QWL which we face, causes of workplace violence and measures to minimize it, sexual harassment and its effect on the workplace, alcoholism and drug abuse and techniques to deal with them. The structure, there are four parts to it. 13.1 is issues in QWL. 13.2 is about workplace violence. 13.3, sexual harassment. The last one is alcoholism and drug abuse. And we are finally having the summary as usual. So let's get on with the very first one. Issues in quality of work life. Now, what exactly do you mean by quality of work life? At the workplace, when you're working, you should feel comfortable physically, emotionally, morally, mentally, every which way. You're working there to give the best output, and for giving the output which is expected from you, there has to be certain types of a hygiene factor, certain minimum things which should be taken care of. You must feel comfortable, secure, etc. And that quality, the value of that should be high enough so that we are putting all our energies not in trying to be defensive about ourselves, but more into the work proper, synergizing with everybody so that we give the output. A very good corporate culture will ensure that the quality at the workplace is high. They will ensure that any type of nonsense taking place, which might bring down the quality of the work life of the employees, is addressed immediately. Now, it starts off by saying the trade unions claim that they are responsible for the improvement of various facilities to workers, whereas management takes credit to improve salaries, benefits and facilities. This is an old paradigm. This is applicable. Whenever we talk about trade unions, it is applicable for companies, industrial units, manufacturing units where there is a trade union. So the bullet point is saying that it is the trade unions or the employees who keep on asking for better quality of working. And the other side, management says that we are already giving them good benefits like salaries and other facilities. So this is like just like saying there's a tug of war between two bodies of people. One that claim that we need better place to work. The other one says that we are already giving you certain good things. Okay. However, personnel and HR managers has identified certain specific issues in quality of work life besides the normal wages, salaries, fringe benefits, etc. And take a lead in providing them so as to maintain higher order quality of work life. Indirectly, we are saying that it's not enough to give a lot of money, a lot of monetary benefits to employees. There is something like a hygiene factor. We are working in a team. We are working with people. We are working with a very diverse group of people. There's a diversity at the workplace. Genders are different. So with all these things, it's important that there's a behavioral issue that comes into picture. Now that was not factored long back. Today, every organization is ensuring that this part of it is taken care of. Not just the monetary, but the non-monetary part of it is very important. So today's personnel manager or HR manager is making it a point to address these issues very, 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 very firmly. Taking it further, what are the major QWL issues? Pay and stability of employment. This is something which anybody would look for. Hire and fire is not a very good way of, you know, having a quality of work life, because every day you are in a state of stress and tension. You may lose your job. You may get demoted. You may be shifted to a different place. So there has to be a stability of employment and also pay. Attractive pay packages do contribute to employee dissatisfaction and stability. Definitely. Right? Second comes occupation stress. Every occupation, every job that we do has got a certain stress in it. all the jobs that is expected us to be executed from us do have a certain amount of stress. It's a push. Ultimately, organizations would like us to perform better and better. So I have to do better than the normal. So there is a certain amount of pressure on me. Now, this pressure may create a stress in every occupation. Even this video lecture I'm giving you can create a stress in me. There's an occupational stress of giving a video lecture. So please understand one thing. Some people may say that somebody is sitting at the desk and looks very complacent, is working very peacefully. The person standing outside may think that he doesn't have a stress. Everybody goes through some sort of an occupation stress. The nature of the work, the working conditions, the working hours, ability of the employees to contribute to the occupation stress. There are two things. One is the work itself, which could be stressful. Second is the nature of the person, his personality. Now, certain types of jobs are highly stressful for the common man. But certain personalities can take up the job and they are very comfortable with it. When I teach stress management in OBE, I very clearly state that stress is in the mind. Stress is not real. Stress is what you create because of your thoughts or your misalignment of your thoughts with respect to a certain situation. Right? Now, there is a psychological factor in stress, and that is something that becomes a very major issue at the occupation level. When you're working, this occupational stress can manifest in a very different way. Of course, there are other things like, you know, training and development. You go through certain counseling, stuff like that. We'll be talking about it. But most importantly, we must understand that every occupation has got its own stress. Don't undermine any occupation saying that this does not have stress. I've seen people at the operation level, they say we are working very hard. They are going through stress because of their muscle. But there are people who are going through stress because of their brain work. Certain other people are going through stress because of behavioral issues with people, and so on and so forth. So everybody goes through some occupational stress or the other. For that matter, living itself, forget about even office. When you're living in society, when you're living at home, when you're moving with people, there is bound to be certain amount of stress. That is something which is a part of life. Managing that is a skill. Number three on the screen is alternative work schedules. Work from home, flexi time, staggered hours, reduced work week, part-time employment, all these are major quality of work life issues. When the pandemic came in 2020, work from home started. There are some of us who were already into work from home because the nature of our jobs were such. But for majority of the population, work from home became something new. Now that can create a lot of stress. That did create a lot of stress with people. Flexi time, you know, the company is giving you a certain X number of hours to be executed in a month, in a week. Say 48 hours in a week you're supposed to clock. And they give you time when you can come at your flexible time and leave at a flexible time. With a certain fixed time where you have to be there in the office or the workplace. Staggered hours. You come at 2 in the afternoon, go back at 4 o'clock, again come at 6. Certain types of jobs in production centers, they could be staggered. All this, you know, affects the human biorhythm. So the quality of your work at the workplace becomes very challenging. Okay? Reduced work week, part-time employment, these are certain things. There are the alternative work schedules which are not the 9-to-5 types. Right? Recognition. Participative management reward system, job enrichment, comfortable workplace, club membership, vacation, these are all important parts of work life. This is very common these days. We have learned about participative management where employer and employee come together, they participate, they exchange ideas, and the best ideas are implemented into action. And these other things which I mentioned, they are part of the whole thing. If these are absent or they are not adequate, then the quality of the work life gets affected. We need to have a congenial work supervisor relationship. Very, very important is this, according to me. Worker, supervisor, or junior, senior, subordinate, and boss. That relationship is a very, very critical relationship in making or breaking a certain workplace climate. It fosters a sense of social association. See, every day I'm working with my boss. If I do not have a good relationship with him, we are having a lot of issues between us. My work suffers. My morale goes down, my self-esteem also goes down, and so the same thing happens to him also. So this is something that first needs to be said properly, and it's a role of the HR to ensure that these things are adequately addressed well in advance before it goes from bad to worse. So when you give a congenial worker-supervisor relation, it fosters a sense of social association, belongingness, achievement of goals. You have to have this harmony between the two of them. It's very important. I have a harmony with my subordinate. My subordinate has to have a harmony with the next in line. There should be no major behavioral issues. Work issues are separate. That everybody goes through. The sixth point is adequacy of resources. When the resources provided, they match the stated objectives of the company. Or let us say the employee is asking for some sort of a budget or some sort of resources to execute his job, and it's not given to him. And he has got a justification through a presentation or report where he says this is important. But due to some reason, the company is not able to give it. Or the company feels that his demands are too much. Now, this inadequacy of resources can create a work-life quality which may come down. Seniority and merit in promotions. There are two things. There's a usual debate going on in many companies. Seniority is important for promotion, or is it merit? A youngster with a very good intelligence and a merit, who's got all the proficiencies to become to do all the jobs, is a person who's given a promotion. Should I give a youngster a promotion who's brilliant, who's come from a management institute, or should I give it to a person who's got age and experience in seniority? Now, this can become a bone of contention. This can become a major issue in the minds of certain people, and they may feel that the quality of my work life is getting disrupted. This might happen. We talk about workplace violence. Now, violence is not only physical all the time. There was a time when I was in a production unit, there was physical violence actually. The workers did something, they hit each other. One union was at loggerheads with another union. So there were a lot of issues, and there was a shutdown of the plant. So many things happened. Now, besides that violence, physical violence, there are other types of violence also. It can be emotional and harassment. Somebody is using words against you. They are always trying to keep you under control. Now, that's a type of violence. Controlling you through verbal violence. Controlling you through certain types of emotional control. This can be violent also. These violences are never expressed, unfortunately. So, it can occur inside or outside the workplace and can range from threats and verbal abuse to physical assaults and homicide, and one of the leading causes of job-related deaths. So, at the office, you're having some people with whom you're working, you could be having a violence there. The same thing can be carried outside by the employees, and when they are outside also, something can go wrong. We've got innumerable stories about real facts, not even stories, wherein a worker or a manager or an officer or a shop floor person has been assaulted outside the factory. They have been killed, murdered. Now, this is again something that happens. Now, whatever these points are there, they are all relevant to the manufacturing sector. But this is not irrelevant to the service sector also, because in a service sector, things may not happen so openly, but they happen in a different way, which I'll explain later. Third point is, it manifests itself. The workplace violence is growing concern for employers and employees nationwide. Globally, I would say, not nationwide, it's globally, this is a major issue of workplace violence. Somebody feels shortchanged. Somebody feels that he is being deprived. And he's bottling it up. He's not able to communicate. And then somebody else, he feels, is actually getting a lot of benefit out of exploiting him. So violence starts building up. Stress, anger, etc. That's the cause of this. Okay? The haves versus the have-nots. What are the causes of workplace violence? Angered former employees. This is very common. A former employee is working with the company. He's angry. He's left the company and he's really feeling that there's been an injustice done to him. He's not been properly rewarded. He could be one of the causes of a workplace violence. How? He could be doing something directly or indirectly. Customers who feel wronged. A customer buys some goods from you, and you have shortchanged him, you have given him a bad quality, and you're not willing to address his grievances adequately, and repeatedly comes to you, and yet you're brushing him off. This angry customer can create a problem at the workplace. He might do something which will cascade into the workplace. Okay? Stressed out employees or a conflict between co-workers can elevate to the point of violent altercation in the office in many forms and many causes. So, the violence can come from anybody who has been displeased. and who's carrying it in him or her for too long. Okay? Personal life also contributes to the workplace violence. When your home life is not okay, at home you're having stresses and tensions. There's an incompletion of communication at home. And at home becomes a very difficult place to live. That person carries that thing in him and he comes to the workplace and he could actually throw all that anger, he'll vomit it out there on the wrong people. This can happen. I mentioned about this in my earlier slide on the difference between personal management and HR. HR actually addresses this personal life also so that this violence doesn't happen. Okay. So personal life does spill over into the workplace, and sometimes those personal issues present themselves in the workplace with dangerous consequences. The next bullet point says companies that recognize potential for workplace violence are the best positioned to prevent it. One has to understand it even before it happens. Two people are working together or a team is working together, there is a effectiveness is not there. They are not coming out of the productivity. In 99.9% cases, as a trainer, I've seen that if a productivity falls down, it doesn't fall down because of strategies, because of plans, because of something man-made, but because it is because in the group or in the team, there is a behavioral issue with some people. They are having some issues among themselves. 99.9% cases, it is behavioral. You know, people ask me, as an engineer, how come you have become a behavioral trainer? I noticed something that ultimately everything boils down to behavior. If the behaviors are properly taken care of, if they are addressed by the top management in any company by a very good culture, supportive culture, then everything else falls in place. You may buy the best of technology. You may buy the best of machines. You may have all the cash-rich position of your company. But if behavior, if people are not properly understood by you, and if you do not connect them properly, if you do not bring out the best in them, then these things are bound to happen. Allow people to express themselves. Let it be an open culture wherein people are willing to express themselves, their ideas, their grievances, etc., etc., etc. Make their expression relevant to the organization. Now, when certain few points are taken care of, we won't reach this very ugly state of, you know, workplace violence. This is the ultimate state wherein both are guilty, organization as well as the employees, both are guilty of it. Okay? Workplace violence can be avoided by pre-employment screening. At the time of screening, when you're doing the recruitment selection, many times we do not properly screen. There is always a subjective element when you're doing a selection process. It's covered in the chapter where we are talking about recruitment selection. There is something called the subjective element. You know, when I'm interviewing somebody, my personal bias inadvertently comes into the interview. So I may ignore certain signals which that person is giving me about his background. So because of that, what happens is that I may just take him and later on realize on a day-to-day basis with his behavior that this guy is violent. So this can happen. So when you're doing a pre-employment screening, it is good to actually involve a counselor. A qualified clinical counselor is a person who can actually see through these type of violences by their own clinical conversations with these potential candidates. Not every company has got the luxury to do that, but somewhere along the line, one should be a bit of a psychological person to understand what is lurking inside the person. Stress due to overwork and unreasonable demands with the low or no rewards. This can happen. This is again in the mind. I feel I'm overworked. I feel the demands are unreasonable. Or truly I'm overworked, truly they're unreasonable. And I feel that I'm not getting rewarded, or truly the rewards are not coming in. Both the sides, this can happen. If this is going on for too long, then it creates certain amount of dissent in the company, and people may leave the company or the efficiency may come down. Now, when this happens, it is important for the HR people and the top management to realize this is a signal for them, saying that, hey, what's the matter? They have to do everything to ensure that this is eliminated or brought down to the minimum. Lack of employee assistance programs. When employees are going through some issues, personal issues, is there somebody who can talk to them, who can listen to their grievances? When no one listens to my grievance for a long time, I start feeling neglected. When I start feeling neglected, every human being would like to express himself. So he may get angry, he may cry, he may do all sorts of, you know, emotions will come out. And at the end of it, nothing works, then he may resort to violence. This is something that should be understood. So employee assistance program is a very common thing today in many companies. They have people, counselors who are, to whom you can go and talk and you can lighten yourself, and then, you know, they'll give you some ideas about how to work, coping and adapting with the situation. Denial, not rewarding a good job done, tolerating and accommodating already violent employees. Certain people are already working there. Now, this used to happen in some organizations where a manager is very aggressive with his boys. So they don't like to work with him, but he's producing results. The company is holding him back because of the results. But the company doesn't realize that people are joining and leaving his department frequently. So it is as good as I'm doing a good job and I'm being misunderstood. So there's a denial, and this denial can create a workplace violence, one of the contributing factors. Disgruntled customers and former employees, shortchanged customers, people who have been cheated, they feel. Who feels cheated and whose grievance has not been adequately addressed, this person can become a, can create a workplace violence. What are the consequences of workplace violence? Major consequences are physical attacks, assaults, psychological trauma. In the office, it happens. White collar jobs, you know, there are many people who go through psychological trauma. They are not able to express themselves. They are constantly under pressure. They are under harassment. They are not allowed to express themselves. This can happen. Anger related accidents. Somebody is in a very angry state. He takes a forklift in a manufacturing unit. He drives it and rams it into something, and there's an accident there. It can happen. It can happen outside in the open also. In an angry mood, when you drive a car or a bike, you can go and ram somebody. You hurt yourself or you kill yourself, and there's a damage for others also. Rape, very dangerous, deeply psychological issue. Arson, where you want to burn everything. You want to destroy all the public property, and even murder. The minor consequences, which if neglected will become major. These minor consequences could be violent arguments, threats and abuses, verbal batting, okay, and violation of ethics and rules of the company. Now this is a very, very tricky thing, very common thing happening. It happens very surreptitiously. I feel that I've been cheated. I'm going to teach the company a lesson. So what I do is I'll try to do unethical activities, which is against the rules of the company, against the ethics and values of the company for which I've been employed. I sabotage the company's working by going to the competitor. I'm giving them very confidential information. You know, I'm engaging in espionage, or I'm damaging property damage, or vandalism, destroying things around, going to the washroom, you know, and breaking the taps, doing all sorts of nonsensical things wherein you're expressing your anger. Now, when you notice these things and they are ignored or they're not addressed properly, this can become a major one tomorrow. You have to be very careful about it. With this, my dear friends, I thank you for listening to me.